to apply this method. You may wonder what kind of calendar would be best to use, and I'll discuss that in more detail in the next chapter. For now, just keep using the one you've got. After you develop a feel for the whole systematic approach, you'll have a better reference point for deciding about graduating to a different tool. Wastebasket recycling bins. If you're like most people, when you implement this process, you're going to toss a lot more stuff than you expect. So get ready to create a good bit of trash. Some executives I have coached have found it extremely useful to arrange for a large trash bin to be parked immediately outside their offices the day we work together. Do you need an organizer? Whether or not you need an organizer tool, and if so, what kind, will depend on a number of factors. Are you already committed to using something for managing lists and at-hand reference information? How do you want to see your reminders of actions, agendas, and projects? Where and how often do you need to review them? Because your head is not the place in which to hold things, you'll obviously need something to manage your triggers and orient yourself externally. You could maintain everything in a purely low-tech fashion by keeping pieces of paper in folders. Or you could even use a paper-based notebook or planner, or a digital version thereof. Or you could employ some combination of these. All of the low-tech gear listed in the previous section is used for various aspects of collecting, processing, and organizing. You'll use a tray and random paper for collecting. As you process your in-tray, you'll complete many less than 2-minute actions that will require post-its, a stapler, and paper clips. The magazines, articles, and paper reports and documents that are your longer than 2-minute reading will go in another of the trays. And you'll probably have quite a bit just to file away. What's left, maintaining a project inventory, logging calendar items and action and agenda reminders, and tracking the things you're waiting for, will require some form of lists or reviewable groupings of similar items. Lists can be managed in a low-tech way as pieces of paper kept in a file folder. For example, separate sheets or notes for each person you need to call in a calls file, or bills to pay in a to-pay folder or tray. Or they can be arranged in a more mid-tech fashion, in loose-leaf notebooks or planners, a page titled Calls with the names listed down the sheet. Or they can be high-tech, digital versions, such as a Calls category in the Tasks or To-Do section of a software application. In addition to holding portable reference material, for example, contact info, most organizing tools are designed for managing lists. Your calendar is actually a form of a list with time and day specific action reminders listed chronologically. Probably thousands of types of organizers have been on the market since the latter 20th century, from the early day timers and filofaxes to the more sophisticated planners like Time System and Franklin Covey, to the retro use of a simple moleskin notebook, to the current flood of task management software applications. Since the original publication of Getting Things Done, scores of software programs have emerged using the core GTD methodology as a basis for their models. Most are simply digital and mobile to-do and task list managers with a variety of enhancements, connections, and graphic views. Should you implement the Getting Things Done process in what you're currently using, or should you install something new? The answer is, do whichever one will actually help you change your behavior so you'll use the tools appropriately. There are efficiency factors to consider here, too. Do you get a lot of digital information that would be easier to track with a digital tool? Do you need a paper-based calendar for all the appointments you have to make and change rapidly on the run? Where and how is the easiest way for you to be reminded of calls you need to make when you're moving fast? And so on. There are also the aesthetic and enjoyment factors. I've done some of my best planning and updating for myself when I simply wanted some excuse to use, that is, play with, my smartphone while waiting for dinner alone in a restaurant. Keep in mind, though, that the tool you use will not give you stress-free productivity. That is something you create by implementing the GTD method. The structure you incorporate will be extremely important in how you express and implement the process, but it is not a substitute for it. A great hammer doesn't make a great carpenter, but a great carpenter will always want to have a great hammer. When considering whether to get and use any organizing tool, and if so, which one, keep in mind that all you really need to do is manage lists, You've got to be able to create a list on the run and review it easily and as regularly as you need to. Once you know what to put on the list and how to use them, the medium really doesn't matter. Just go for simplicity, speed, and fun. The critical factor of a filing system. A simple and highly functional personal reference system is critical to this process. The filing system at hand is one of the first things I assess before beginning the workflow process in anyone's office. As I noted in Chapter 2, the lack of a good general reference system can be one of the greatest obstacles to implementing a personal management system, and for most of the executives I have coached, it represents one of the biggest opportunities for improvement. It's not because the content is so important or strategic. It's rather that, unmanaged, it inordinately clouds physical and mental space. Random, non-actionable, but potentially relevant material, unprocessed and unorganized, produces a debilitating psychological noise. More important, it produces a block in the flow part of workflow, and things tend to back up into the area like we see with clogged plumbing. Many times I've driven to the local office supply store with a client and bought a filing cabinet, a big stack of file folders, and a labeler, just so we could create an appropriate place in which to put two-thirds of the stuff lying around his or her desk and office. The transformation in clarity and focus regarding work was inevitably dramatic. We're concerned here mostly with general reference filing, as distinct from discrete filing systems devoted to contracts, financial information, patient records, or other categories of data that deserve their own place in indexing. General reference files should hold articles, brochures, pieces of paper, notes, printouts, documents, and even physical things like tickets, keys, buyer's club membership cards, and flash drives. Basically anything that you want to keep for its interesting or useful data or purpose, and that doesn't fit into your specialized filing systems and won't stand up by itself on a shelf, as will large software manuals and seminar binders. If you're a digitally oriented person, you may think there's no longer any need for file folders for physical stuff. At some point in the future, I may not need a physical passport, birth certificate, older kitchen appliance instructions, medical records, keys for seldom used boxes, or paper currency from countries I will revisit. But until then, I need a coordinated physical place to park them. If you have a trusted secretary or assistant who maintains that system for you, so you can put a file as X post-it on the document and send it out to him or her, great. But ask yourself if you have some potentially interesting, confidential, or useful support material that should be accessible at any moment, even when your assistant isn't around. If so, you'll still need your own system in your desk or somewhere near it. The same dynamic holds true, whether reference is in paper or digital form. As more and more information is coming to us virtually, the need to have general reference locations for ad hoc data on your computer or mobile device is critical. Many people are still using their email in-tray area as an amorphous general reference storage place. I need to keep this email because it has information about my son's school event schedule. But they resist making an electronic folder named Robert or School Schedules in their email application, in which to drag and store it, or copying and pasting it in a good reference storage program or database. Software is now available that allows capturing and categorizing this kind of information and synchronizing it with multiple devices, but it does require some thought about how to structure it, as well as some directed behavior to flow this kind of stuff into appropriate places instead of complicating and confusing your digital environment. When I instituted a new general reference filing application on my computer, it required a good 3 months of my experimentation to find the optimal way to organize it, and another 3 months to get it on cruise control, so now I'm just using it instead of thinking so much about it. Success factors for filing. I strongly suggest that you maintain a personal, at-hand filing system, both physical and digital. It should take you less than 1 minute to pick something up out of your in-tray or print it from email, decide it needs no next action, but has some potential future value, and finish storing it in a trusted system. The same is true for scanning and storing documents, or copying and pasting information in the computer. You may have a preponderance of digital over paper-based reference material, or vice versa. But without a streamlined system for both, you will resist keeping potentially valuable information, or what you do keep will accumulate in inappropriate places. If it takes longer than a minute to file something in an easily retrievable format, you'll likely stack it or stuff it somewhere instead. Besides being fast, the system needs to be fun and easy, current and complete. Otherwise, you'll unconsciously resist emptying your in-tray because you know there's likely to be something in there that ought to get filed, and you won't even want to look at the papers or your clogged email. Take heart. I've seen people go from resisting to actually enjoying sorting through their piles and digital world once their personal filing system is set up and humming. You must feel equally comfortable about filing a single piece of paper on a new topic, even a scribbled note, in its own file, as you would about filing a more formal, larger document. Because it requires so much work to make and organize files, people either don't keep them or have junked up cabinets and drawers full of all sorts of one-of-a-kind items, like menus for the local takeout cafe or the current train schedule. If you trust that all that kind of information is instantly and virtually available through the web, and you would never need to access hard copies, then make sure you're not duplicating systems unnecessarily, and that what you choose and how you use it is seamless. Whatever you need to do to get your reference system to that quick and easy standard for everything it has to hold, do it. My system works wonderfully for me and for many others who try it, and I highly recommend that you consider incorporating all of the following guidelines to really make reference filing automatic. Keep your general reference files immediately at hand. Filing has to be instantaneous and easy. If you have to get up every time you have some ad hoc piece of paper you want to file, or you have to search multiple places on your computer for an appropriate location for a piece of information you want to keep, you'll tend to stack it or leave it in its original place instead of filing it. You're also likely to resist the whole in-tray process because you know there's stuff in there that might need filing. Many people I've coached have redesigned their office space so they have plenty of general reference file drawers literally within swivel distance instead of across the room. One alpha system. I have one A to Z alphabetical physical filing system for general reference, not multiple ones. My email reference folders are also organized this way. People have a tendency to want to use their files as a personal management system, and therefore they attempt to organize them in groupings by projects or areas of focus. This magnifies geometrically the number of places something isn't when you forget where you filed it. Once you have filtered all the reminders for actions into your next action lists, this kind of data is simply the content of your personal library. You should have the freedom to be as much of a pack rat as you wish. The only issue you need to deal with is how much room you have for storage and how accessible the information is when you need it. One simple alpha system files everything by topic, person, project, or company, so it can be in only three or four places if you forget exactly where you put it. You can usually put at least one subset of topics on each label, like gardening-pots and gardening-ideas. These would be filed under G. The digital world provides the advantage of the search function across a wide swath of your data, and the ability to tag content with keywords adds even more capability for retrieval. However, with so many options and locations for data storage, that power also can easily add complexity and confusion. Most people I know who are even moderately busy won't take the time and effort to use these tools to catalog all their stuff within all their possible applications. So, though the computer gives us great power and flexibility and opportunity for a great reference library, it creates an even greater challenge to design your own simple and effective formats for referential information. Even digitally, it is very helpful to have a visual map sorted in ways that make sense, either by indexes or data groups organized effectively, usually in an alpha format. To find restaurants in London that I like, I go into my current general reference application, where I find locales, then London, then restaurants, all alphabetized within each level of abstraction. The biggest issue for digitally oriented people is that the ease of capturing and storing has generated a write-only syndrome. All they're doing is capturing information, not actually accessing and using it intelligently. Some consciousness needs to be applied to keep one's potentially huge digital library functional versus a black hole of data easily dumped in there with a couple of keystrokes. I don't need to organize my stuff because the search feature can find it sufficiently, is, from what I've experienced, quite suboptimal as an approach. We need to have a way to overview our mass of collected information with some form of effective categorization. Every once in a while, someone has such a huge amount of reference material on one topic or project that it should be put in its own discrete drawer, cabinet, or digital directory. But if the physical material is less than half a file drawer's worth, I recommend including it in the single general alphabetical system. And if it is a digital grouping, it perhaps deserves its own place as a subdirectory. Make it easy to create a new folder. I keep a large supply of new file folders instantly at hand and reachable from where I sit to process my intray. Nothing is worse than having something to file and not having plenty of folders to grab from to make the process easy. Always ensure a supply within reach. The virtual version of this is getting comfortable with how to instantly create a new directory in your data storage software as needed. Make sure you have plenty of space for easy storage. Always try to keep your physical file drawers less than 3/4 full. If they're stuffed, you'll unconsciously resist putting things in there, and reference materials will tend to stack up instead. If a drawer is starting to get tight, I may purge it while I'm on hold on the phone. If you have any attention on the storage room in your digital devices, it's a good time to review and purge. I know almost no one who doesn't have overstuffed file drawers. If you value your cuticles, and if you want to get rid of your unconscious resistance to filing, then you must keep the drawers loose enough that you can insert and retrieve files without effort. The digital version of this is having any concern about space on the computer or in the cloud. A judgment call you consistently have to make is how much room to give yourself so that the content remains meaningfully and easily accessible without creating a black hole of an inordinate amount of information amorphously organized. At times, when I'm on hold on the phone, I'm purging my email folders and old document directories. Some people's reaction to this is, I'd have to buy more file cabinets, or I'd have to get a larger hard drive, as if that were something horrible. But if the stuff is worth keeping, it's worth keeping so that it's easily accessible, right? And if it's not, then why are you keeping it? If we're in the information age and you're doing anything that hinders your usage of it, not smart. You may need to create another tier of reference storage to give yourself sufficient working room with your general reference files at hand. Materials such as finished project notes and dead client files may still need to be kept, but they can be stored off-site, on storage drives, in the cloud, or at least out of your workspace. Label your file folders with an auto-labeler. No matter how small your inventory of physical reference materials is, you need to stay positively engaged with it. Typeset labels change the nature of your physical files and your relationship to them. Labeled files feel comfortable on a boardroom table. Everyone can identify them. You can easily see what they are from a distance and in your briefcase. And when you open up your file drawers, you get to see what looks almost like a printed index of your files in alphabetical order. It makes it fun to open the drawer to find or insert things. Perhaps later in this new millennium, the brain scientists will give us some esoteric and complex neurological explanation for why labeled files work so effectively. Until then, trust me, get a labeler, and get your own. To make the whole system work without a hitch, you'll need to have it at hand all the time so you can file something whenever you want. And don't share. If you have something to file and your labeler's not there, you'll just stack the material instead of filing it. The labeler should be as basic a tool as your stapler. Purge your files at least once a year. Cleaning house in your files regularly keeps them from going stale and seeming like a black hole, and it also gives you the freedom to keep anything on a whim in case you might need it. You know everything will be reassessed within a few months anyway, and you can redecide then what's worth keeping and what isn't. This applies equally to digital as well as paper-based reference information. As I said, I purge my files while I'm on hold on the phone or marking time on a conference call that's dragging on and on. I recommend that all organizations, if they don't have one already, establish a purge day when all employees get to come to work in jeans, put their phone on Do Not Disturb, and get current with all their stored stuff. A great time to do this is Christmas Eve Day or some similar near holiday that falls on a workday. Most people are in party mode anyway, so it's an ideal opportunity to get funky and clean house. Large trash bins, recycle containers, and to-shred boxes are available, and everyone has permission to spend the whole day in purge mode, around their office and on their computer. A personal purge day is an ideal thing to put into your tickler file, either during the holidays, at year's end, or around early spring tax preparation time, when you might want to tie it in with archiving the previous year's financial files. Filing as a success factor itself. Reference and support materials seldom are associated with urgency, nor are they strategic in the grand scheme of things. Hence, their management is very often relegated to a low priority, if dealt with at all. The problem, however, is that your mental and physical workspaces become cluttered with non-actionable but potentially relevant and useful stuff. What is this? Why is this here? What should I do with this? And where is what I need to access right now? Become subliminal voices plaguing the consciousness if this aspect of your world is not rigorously set up and maintained. Reference materials need to be contained and organized within their own discrete boundaries, physically and digitally, so that they don't cloud other categories in your system, are available for a specific purpose, and can be accessed efficiently. Because they can be so voluminous, it is critical that they be easily managed for capturing, sorting, and accessing what you need when you need it, and that they don't get in the way of the more action-oriented components of your system. I have spent countless hours with some of the most sophisticated professionals in the world, assisting them in cleaning up and setting up a simple and functional reference system, and the results have often been phenomenal in freeing up their attention for the bigger things. One final thing to prepare. You've blocked off some time, you've gotten a work area set up, and you've got the basic tools to start implementing the methodology. Now what? If you've decided to commit a certain amount of time to setting up your workflow system, there's one more thing that you'll need to do to make it maximally effective. You must clear the decks of any other commitments for the duration of the session. If there's someone you absolutely need to call, or something your secretary has to handle for you, or you have to check with your life partner about, do it now. Or make an agreement with yourself about when you will do it, and then put some reminder of that where you won't miss it. It's critical that your full attention be available for the work at hand. Almost without exception, when I sit down to begin coaching people, even though they've blocked out time and committed significant money to utilize me as a resource for that time, they still have things they're going to have to do before we quit for the day, and they haven't arranged for them yet in their own systems. "Oh yeah, I've got to call this client back sometime today," they'll say. Or, "I have to check in with my spouse to see if he's gotten the tickets for tonight." It bespeaks a certain lack of awareness and maturity in our culture, I think, that so many sophisticated people are ignoring those levels of responsibility to their own consciousness on an ongoing operational basis. So, have you handled all that? Good. Now it's time to gather representatives of all your open loops into one place. Chapter 5. Capturing, Corralling Your Stuff. In Chapter 2, I described the basic procedures for capturing your potential work and meaningful input. This chapter will lead you in more detail through the process of getting all your incompletes, all your stuff, into one place, into N. That's the critical first step in getting to the state of mind like water. Just gathering a few more things than you currently have will probably create a positive feeling for you. But if you can hang in there and really do the whole capturing process, 100%, it will change your experience dramatically and give you an important new reference point for being on top of your work and your world. When I coach a client through this process, the capture phase usually takes between 1 and 6 hours, though it did take an entire 20 hours with one person. Finally, I told him, you get the idea. It can take longer than you think if you're committed to a full-blown collection that will include everything at work and everywhere else. That means going through every storage area, including your computers, and every nook and cranny in every location, including cars, boats, and other garages and homes if you have them. Be assured that if you give yourself at least a couple of hours to tackle this part, you can grab the major portion of things outstanding. And you can even capture the rest by creating relevant placeholding notes, for example, purge and process boat storage shed, and deal with the hull closet. In the real world, you probably won't be able to keep your stuff 100% collected all the time. If you're like most people, you'll move too fast and be engaged in too many things during the course of a week to get all your ideas and commitments captured outside your head. But it should become an ideal standard that keeps you motivated to consistently clean house of all the things about your work and life that have your attention. Ready? Set? There are very practical reasons to gather everything before you start clarifying it. 1. It's helpful to have a sense of the volume of stuff you have to deal with. 2. It lets you know where the end of the tunnel is. And 3. When you're clarifying and organizing, you don't want to be distracted psychologically by an amorphous mass of stuff that might still be somewhere. Once you have all the things that require your attention gathered in one place, you'll automatically be operating from a state of enhanced focus and control. It can be daunting to capture in one location, at one time, all the things that don't belong where they are. It may even seem a little counterintuitive, because, for the most part, most of that stuff was not and is not that important. That's why it's still lying around. It wasn't an urgent thing when it first showed up, and probably nothing's blown up yet because it hasn't been dealt with. It's the business card you put on your wallet of somebody you thought you might want to contact sometime. It's the little piece of techno gear in the bottom desk drawer that you're missing a part for, or haven't had the time to install properly. It's the printer that you keep telling yourself you're going to move to a better location in your office. These are the kinds of things that nag at you, but that you haven't decided either to deal with or to drop entirely from your list of open loops. But because you think there still could be something important in there, that stuff is controlling you and taking up more of your energy than it deserves. So, it's time to begin. Grab your in tray and half-inch stack of plain paper for your notes, and let's go. Physical gathering. The first activity is to search your physical environment for anything that doesn't permanently belong where it is, the way it is, and put it into your in tray. You'll be gathering things that are incomplete, things that have some decision about potential action tied to them. They all go into in, so they'll be available for later processing. What stays where it is? The best way to create a clean decision about whether something should go into the in tray is to understand clearly what shouldn't go in. Here are the 4 categories of things that can remain where they are, the way they are, with no action tied to them. Supplies, reference material, decoration, equipment. Supplies. Include anything you need to keep because you use it regularly. Stationery, business cards, stamps, staples, post-it pads, paper clips, ballpoint refills, batteries, forms you need to fill out from time to time, rubber bands, all of these qualify. Many people also have a personal supplies drawer at work containing dental floss, Kleenex, breath mints, and so on. Reference material is anything you simply keep for information as needed, such as manuals for your software, the local takeout deli menu, your kids' sports team schedule, or your list of internal phone extensions. This category includes all your telephone and address information, any material relevant to projects, themes, and topics, and sources such as dictionaries, encyclopedias, almanacs, and bound archives of corporate records. It also includes books and magazines that you may be keeping as a library. Decoration means pictures of family, artwork, and fun and inspiring things pinned to your bulletin board. You also might have plaques, mementos, and/or plants. Equipment is obviously your phone, computer, printer, scanner, wastebasket, furniture, clock, chargers, pens, and notepads. You no doubt have a lot of things that fall into these 4 categories, basically all your tools and your gear, which have no actions tied to them. Everything else goes into in. But many of the things you might initially interpret as supplies, reference, decoration, or equipment could also have action associated with them because they still aren't exactly the way they need to be. For instance, most people have, in their desk drawers, on their shelves and bulletin boards, and tucked away in computer files, a lot of materials and information that either are out of date or need to be organized somewhere else. Those should go into N. Likewise, if your supplies drawer is out of control, full of lots of dead or unorganized stuff, that's an incomplete that needs to be captured. Are the photos of your kids current ones? Is the artwork what you want on the wall? Are the mementos really something you still want to keep? Is the furniture precisely the way it should be? Is the computer set up the way you want it? Are the plants in your office alive? In other words, supplies, reference materials, decoration, and equipment may need to be tossed into the N tray if they're not just where they should be, the way they should be. Issues about capturing. As you engage in the capturing step, you may run into one or more of the following. You've got a lot more than will fit into one N tray. You're likely to get derailed into purging and organizing. You may have some form of stuff already collected and organized. And, or, you're likely to run across some critical things that you want to keep in front of you. What if an item is too big to go in the N tray? If you can't physically put something in the N tray, then write a note on a piece of letter-sized plain paper to represent it. For instance, if you have a poster or other piece of artwork behind the door to your office, just write "artwork behind door" on a letter-sized piece of paper and put the paper in the N tray. Be sure to date it, too. This has a couple of benefits. If your organization system winds up containing some of these pieces of paper representing something else, it'll be useful to know when the note was created. It's also just a great habit to date everything you handwrite, from post-it notes for your assistant, to voicemails you transfer onto a pad, to the note you take on a phone call with a client. If you're using a digital tool that has a date stamp function, it's great to use that for the same reason. The 3% of the time that this little piece of information will be extremely useful makes it worth developing this simple habit. What if the pile is too big to fit into the N tray? If you're like 98% of the people we work with individually, your initial gathering activity will collect much more than can be comfortably stacked in an N tray. If that's the case, just create stacks around the N tray, and maybe even on the floor below it. Ultimately, you'll be eliminating the stacks as you process and organize everything. In the meantime, though, make sure that there's some obvious visual distinction between the stacks that are in and everything else. Instant dumping. If it's immediately evident that something is trash, go ahead and toss it when you see it. For some of my clients, this marks the first time they've ever cleaned their center desk drawer. If you're not sure what something is or whether it's worth keeping, go ahead and put it into N. You'll be able to decide about it later when you process the N tray. What you don't want to do is to let yourself get wrapped up in things piece by piece, trying to decide this or that. Clarifying requires a very different mindset than capturing. It's best to do them separately. You'll process your stuff later anyway if it's in N, and it's easier to make those kinds of choices when you're in that decision-making mode. The objective for the capturing process is to get everything into N as quickly as possible so you're appropriately retrenched and have drawn the battle lines. Be careful of the purge and organize bug. Many people get hit with the purge and organize virus as they're going through various areas of their office and their home. If that happens to you, it's okay, so long as you have a major open window of time to get through the whole process, at least a whole week. Otherwise, you'll need to break it up into chunks and capture them as little projects or actions to do, with reminders in your system, like purge 4-drawer cabinet or clean office closet. What you don't want to do is let yourself get caught running down a rabbit trail, cleaning up some piece of your work, and then not be able to get through the whole action management implementation process. It may take longer than you think, and you want to go for the gold and finish processing all your stuff and setting up your system as soon as possible. What about things that are already on lists and in organizers? You may already have some lists and some sort of organization system in place. But unless you're thoroughly familiar with this workflow processing model and have implemented it previously, I recommend that you treat those lists as items still to be processed, like everything else in N. You'll want your system to be consistent, and it'll be necessary to evaluate everything from the same viewpoint to get it that way. If you have previously implemented some version of the GTD methodology and have action and project lists set up, but the contents are not current and sufficiently active, you are usually better off printing them out, putting them back in your N tray to use as raw input again, and starting anew. You don't want to be refreshing a new version of your system with outdated material inside. But I can't lose that thing. Often in the capturing process, someone will run across a piece of paper or a document that causes her to say, "Oh my God, I forgot about that. I've got to deal with that." It could be a note about a call she was supposed to handle 2 days before, or some meeting notes that remind her of an action she was supposed to take weeks ago. She doesn't want to put whatever it is in the huge stack of other stuff in her in-tray because she's afraid she might lose track of it again. If that happens to you, first ask yourself if it's something that really has to be handled before you get through this initial implementation time. If so, best deal with it immediately so you get it off your mind. If not, go ahead and put it into N. You're going to get all that processed and emptied soon anyway, so it won't be lost. If you can't deal with the action in the moment, and you still just have to have the reminder right in front of you, go ahead and create an emergency stack somewhere close at hand. It's not an ideal solution, but it'll do. Keep in mind that some potential anxiousness is going to surface as you make your stuff more conscious to you than it's been. Create whatever supports you need. Start with your desktop. Ready now? Okay. Start piling those things on your desk into N. Often there'll be numerous things right at hand that need to go in there. Many people use their whole desktop as N. If you're one of them, you'll have several stacks around you to begin your collection with. Start at one end of your workspace and move around, dealing with everything you come across. Typical items will be stacks of mail, memos, reports, reading materials, post-it notes, collected business cards, receipts, meeting notes. Resist the urge to say, as almost everyone does initially, "Well, I know what's in that stack, and that's where I want to leave it." That's exactly what hasn't worked before, and it all needs to go into the in-tray. I have never had anyone who gave in and actually put their familiar stacks through this system who didn't feel a ton of relief when they did. As you go around your desktop, ask yourself if you have any intention of changing any of the tools or equipment there. Are your mobile devices and phone system okay? Your computer? The desk itself? If anything needs changing, write a note about it and toss it into N. Desk drawers. Next, tackle the desk drawers, if you have them, one at a time. Any attention on anything in there? Any actionable items? Is there anything that doesn't belong there? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, put the actionable item into N or write a note about it. Again, whether you use this opportunity to clean and organize the drawers or simply make a note to do it later will depend on how much time you have and how much stuff is in there. Countertops. Continue working your way around your office, collecting everything sitting on the tops of cabinets or tables or counters that doesn't belong there permanently. Often there will be stacks of reading material, mail, reports, and miscellaneous folders and support material for action and projects. Collect it all. Maybe there is reference material that you've already used and just left out. If that's so, and if you can return it to the file cabinet or the bookshelf in just a second, go ahead and do that. Be careful to check with yourself, though, about whether there is some potential action tied to the material before you put it away. If there is, put it into N so you can deal with it later in the process. Inside the cabinets. Now look inside the cabinets. What's in there? These are perfect areas for stashing large supplies and reference materials, and equally seductive for holding deeper levels of stuff. Any broken or out-of-date things in there? Often I'll find collectibles and nostalgia that aren't meaningful to the person any longer. One general manager of an insurance office, for example, wound up tossing out at least 36 recognition awards he had accumulated over the years. Again, if some of these areas are out of control and need purging and organizing, write that on a note and toss it into N. Floors, walls, and shelves. Anything on bulletin boards that needs action? Anything tacked onto the walls that doesn't belong there? Any attention on your pictures, artwork, plaques, or decorations? How about the open shelves? Any books that need to be read or donated? Any catalogs, manuals, or binders that are out of date or have some potential action associated with them? Any piles or stacks of things on the floor? Just scoot them over next to your entry to add to the inventory. Equipment, furniture, and fixtures. Is there anything you want to do or change about any of your office equipment or furniture or the physical space itself? Does everything work? Do you have all the lighting you need? If there are actionable items, you know what to do. Make a note and put it in. Other locations. Depending on the scope of what you're addressing in this process, you may want to do some version of the same kind of gathering anywhere else you keep stuff. As I mentioned in the previous chapter, if you are determined to get to a really empty head, it's imperative you do it everywhere. Some people I work with find it immensely valuable to take me home with them or to a second office location and have me walk them through this process there as well. Often they've allowed the not-so-important trap to ensnare them in their home life and secondary workspaces, and it has gnawed away at their energy. This is not about throwing things away that you might want. People often mistake my advice as an advocacy for radical minimalism. On the contrary, if throwing something away is uncomfortable for you, you should keep it. Otherwise, you would have attention on the fact that you now don't have something you might want or need. Obsessive-compulsive hoarding is another matter, and a condition to be dealt with outside the scope of this methodology and my expertise. My counsel is how to assess and organize whatever you keep in your ecosystem so that it doesn't pull on your focus unnecessarily. In many areas, I'm a confirmed pack rat, such as with digital photos. The issues are simply how much room you have and that you have made the appropriate distinctions that don't leave embedded projects and actions submerged in what you're keeping. You like having and keeping your 12 boxes of old journals and notes from college? You like keeping all kinds of nutty toys and artwork and gadgets around your office to spur creative thinking? No problem, as long as they are where you want them to be in the form they're in, and you have anything you want or need to do about that captured and processed in your system. Mental gathering, the mind sweep. Once you feel you've collected all the physical things in your environment that need processing, you'll want to collect anything else that may be residing in your mental RAM space. What has your attention that isn't represented by something already in your entry? This is where the stack of plain paper really comes into play. I recommend that you write out each thought, each idea, each project or thing that has your attention on a separate sheet of paper. You could make one long list on a pad or in some digital application, but given how you will later be processing each item individually, it's actually more effective on separate sheets. There is a discipline required initially to stay focused on one item at a time as you process it. So giving each thought its own placeholder, as trivial as it might seem, makes it that much easier. And your first captured thought will seldom be the final content you'll want to track about it. The desired outcome and next action for it will be. You will likely not keep these pieces of paper, but it'll be handy to have them as discrete items to deal with as you're processing. Many people, even those who are high-tech oriented, once they experience the value of writing a single thought on a single piece of paper, have made it part of their ongoing self-management practice. It's great to give your potentially meaningful thoughts their due. It will probably take you between 20 minutes and an hour to clear your head onto separate notes after you've gathered everything else. You'll find that things will tend to occur to you in somewhat random fashion. Little things, big things, personal things, professional things, in no particular order. In this instance, go for quantity. It's much better to overdo this process than to risk missing something. You can always toss the junk later. Your first idea may be implement global climate change. And then you'll think, I need cat food. Grab them all. Don't be surprised if you discover you've created quite a stack of paper in N during this procedure. Triggers list. To assist in clearing your head, you may want to listen to the following incompletion triggers list, item by item, to see if you've forgotten anything. Often, you'll just need a jog to unearth something lurking in the back of your mind. Remember, when something occurs to you, write it on a piece of paper and toss it into N. Incompletion triggers. Professional. Projects started, not completed. Projects that need to be started. Look into projects. Commitments and promises to others, like boss or partners. Colleagues. Subordinates. Others in the organization. Outside people, like customers. Other organizations. Professionals. Vendors. Communications to make or get. Internal or external. Initiate or respond to. Phone calls, voicemails, emails, text messages, letters, social media postings. Other writing to finish or submit, like reports, evaluations or reviews, proposals, articles, marketing materials, manuals and instructions, summaries, rewrites and edits. Status reporting, conversation and communication tracking, meetings that need to be set or requested, who needs to know about what decisions, significant read and review, financial things like cash, budgets, forecasts and projections, profit and loss, balance sheet forecasting, credit line, banks, receivables, payables, petty cash, investors, asset management, planning and organizing, formal planning, goals, targets, objectives, current projects, the next stages, business plans, marketing plans, financial plans, organizational initiatives, upcoming events, meetings, presentations, conferences, organizational structuring, changes in facilities, installation of new systems or equipment, travel, vacation, business trips. Organization development items such as organization chart, restructuring, roles, job descriptions, facilities, new systems, leadership, change initiatives, succession planning, organization culture, marketing and promotion, things like campaigns, materials, public relations, administration things like legal, insurance, personnel, staffing, policies and procedures, training, staff items such as hiring, firing, or promoting, reviews, communication, staff development, compensation, feedback, morale, sales, things like customers, prospects, leads, the sales process, sales training, relationship building, reporting, relationship tracking, customer service, systems items such as mobile devices, phones, computers, software, databases, telecommunications, internet, filing and reference, inventories, storage, office and site things such as space and arrangements, furniture, equipment, decorations, utilities, supplies, maintenance and cleaning, security, meetings, upcoming, needing to be set or requested, any need debriefing. In the professional development realm, training and seminars, things to learn, things to find out, skills to practice or develop, books to read or study, research, formal education, such as licensing and degrees, career research, your resume, performance objectives, professional wardrobe, and things you're waiting for, like information, delegated tasks and projects, completions critical to projects, answers to questions, replies to things like emails, letters, proposals, calls, invitations, requisitions, reimbursements, insurance claims, ordered items that haven't come, repairs, tickets, or decisions of others. Personal. Projects started, not completed. Projects that need to be started. Projects involving other organizations, such as service, or community, or volunteer, or spiritual organizations. Commitments or promises to others, such as partner or spouse, children, parents, family, friends, professionals, returnable items, debts, communication to make or get, such as calls, emails, cards and letters, thank yous, texts, social media postings, upcoming events like birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, graduations, receptions, outings, holidays, vacation, travel, dinners, parties, cultural events, sporting events, administration, such as home office supplies, equipment, phones, mobile devices, audio and video media, voicemail, computers, software, internet, filing and records, data storage and backup, leisure things such as books, music, video, travel, cooking, places to visit, people to visit, web browsing, photography, sports equipment, hobbies, recreation, financial stuff like bills, banks, investments, loans, taxes, budget, insurance, mortgage, bookkeeping, accountants, pets, their health, their training, or supplies, legal things like wills, trusts, estate, other legal affairs, family projects and activities with partner or spouse, children, parents, relatives, home and household things like real estate, repairs, construction, remodeling, landlords, heating and air conditioning, plumbing, utilities, the roof, landscaping, driveway, garage, walls, floors, ceilings, decor, furniture, appliances, lights and wiring, kitchen supplies and equipment, laundry, purging, organizing, or cleaning, storage, service providers. In the health area, doctors, dentists, optometrists, healthcare specialists, checkups, diet, food, exercise, personal development, such as classes, seminars, education, coaching or counseling, career, creative expressions, transportation things such as motor vehicles, bicycles, maintenance, repair, commuting, clothes, like professional, casual, formal, sports, accessories, luggage, repairs, tailoring, errands to do, such as shopping, stores, hardware, supplies, groceries, gifts, pharmacy, bank, cleaners, repairs. Community involvement, the neighborhood, your neighbors, service, schools, civic involvements, voting. Things you're waiting for, products, orders, repairs, reimbursements, loaned items, information, RSVPs, projects or tasks to be completed by family or friends. The in inventory. If your head is empty of everything, personally and professionally, then your in tray is probably quite full and likely spilling over. In addition to the paper-based and physical items in your in tray, your inventory of in should include any resident voicemails and all the emails that are currently staged in the in area of your communication software. It should also include any items on your organizer lists for which you have not yet determined next actions. I usually recommend that people transfer their voicemails onto paper notes and put those into their in trays, along with any organizer notebooks they may have used, the contents of which often need significant reassessment. If you've been using a digital application for anything other than calendar and contact information, I suggest you print out any task and to-do lists and put them, too, into your in tray. Emails are best left where they are because of their volume and the efficiency factor of dealing with them within their own subsystem. But in doesn't stay in in. When you've done all that, you're ready to take the next step. You don't want to leave anything in for an indefinite period of time, because then it would, without fail, creep back into your consciousness, since your mind would know you weren't dealing with it. Of course, one of the main factors in people's resistance to collecting stuff into in is the lack of a good processing and organizing methodology to handle it. That brings us to the next chapter, getting in to empty. Chapter 6. Clarifying. Getting in to empty. Assuming that you have collected everything that has your attention, your job now is to actually get to the bottom of in. Getting in to empty doesn't mean actually doing all the actions and projects that you've captured. It just means identifying each item and deciding what it is, what it means, and what you're going to do with it. This chapter focuses on the steps from in to next action. You'll immediately see the natural organization that results from following this process for each of your open loops. For instance, if you pick up something from in and realize, I've got to call Andrea about that, but I've got to do it on Monday when she's in her office, then you'll defer that action immediately and enter it on your calendar for Monday. I recommend that you listen through this chapter and the next one on organizing your actions before you actually start processing what you've captured in. It may save you some steps. When I coach people through this process, it invariably becomes a dance back and forth between the simple decision-making stage of processing the open loops and the trickier task of figuring out the best way to enter these decisions in their particular organization systems. Many of the people we work with, for example, are eager to set up on a mobile device that might synchronize with the enterprise application that their company is using for email and scheduling. The first thing we would have to do, after we've collected the in tray, is to make sure all their hardware and software are working. Then we clean up, print out and erase usually, everything they have previously tried to organize in their task lists and put it all into in. Then we establish some working categories such as calls, errands, agendas, at computer, and so on. As we begin to process the in tray, the person can go immediately to his computer and type his action steps directly into the system he will ultimately depend on. If you're not sure yet what you're going to be using as a personal reminder system, don't worry. You can begin very appropriately with a simple loose-leaf notebook or whatever you may be currently using for making lists. You can always upgrade your tools later, once you have your system in place. Processing guidelines. The best way to learn this model is by doing. But there are a few basic rules to follow. Process the top item first. Process one item at a time. Never put anything back into in. Top item first. Even if the second item down is a personal note to you from the head of your country and the top item is a piece of junk mail, you've got to process the junk mail first. That's an exaggeration to make a point, but the principle is an important one. Everything gets processed equally. The verb process does not mean spend time on. It just means decide what the thing is and what action is required, and then dispatch it accordingly. You're going to get to the bottom of the tray as soon as you can anyway, and you don't want to avoid dealing with anything in there. Emergency scanning is not clarifying. Most people get to their in tray or their email and look for the most urgent, most fun, easiest, or most interesting stuff to deal with first. Emergency scanning is fine and necessary sometimes. I do it regularly too. Maybe you've just come back from an off-site meeting and have to be on a long conference call in 15 minutes. So you check to make sure there are no landmines about to explode and to see if your client has emailed back to you okaying the big proposal. But that's not processing your in-tray. It's emergency scanning. When you're in processing mode, you must get into the habit of starting at one end and just cranking through items one at a time in order. As soon as you break that rule and process only what you feel like processing, in whatever order, you'll invariably begin to leave things unprocessed. Then you will no longer have a functioning funnel, and it will back up all over your desk and office and email in repositories. Many people live in this emergency scanning mode, always distracted by what's coming into in, and not feeling comfortable if they're not constantly skimming the contents on their computer or mobile devices. Were they to trust in would be totally dealt with every day or two, they wouldn't be so driven by this need for incessant checking. LIFO or FIFO? Theoretically, you should flip your in tray upside down and process first the first thing that came in. As long as you go from one end clear through to the other within a reasonable period of time, though, it won't make much difference. You're going to see it all in short order anyway. And if you're going to attempt to clear up a big backlog of emails staged in, you'll actually discover it's more efficient to process the last in first because of all the discussion threads that accumulate on top of one another. And you don't want to respond to something prematurely before you've seen the whole discussion. One item at a time. You may find you have a tendency while processing your in-tray to pick something up, not know exactly what you want to do about it, and then let your eyes wander to another item farther down the stack and get engaged with it. That item may be more attractive to you because you know right away what to do with it, and you don't feel like thinking about what's in your hand. This is dangerous territory. What's in your hand is likely to land on a humph stack on the side of your desk because you become distracted by something easier, more important, or more interesting below it. Most people also want to take a whole stack of things out of the in-tray at once, put it right in front of them, and try to crank through it all immediately. Although I empathize with the desire to deal with a big chunk, I constantly remind people to put back everything but the one item on top. The focus on just one thing forces the requisite attention and decision-making to get through all of your stuff. And if you get interrupted, which is likely, you won't have countless parts of in scattered around outside the tray and out of control again. The multitasking exception. There's a subtle exception to the one item at a time rule. Some personality types really need to shift their focus away from something for at least a minute in order to make a decision about it. When I see this going on with someone, I let him take two or sometimes three things out at once as he's processing. It's then easier and faster for him to make a choice about the action required. Remember, multitasking is an exception, and it works only if you hold to the discipline of working through every item in short order and never avoid any decision for longer than a minute or two. Nothing goes back into in. There's a one-way path out of in. This is actually what was meant by the old admonition to handle things once. Though handling things just once is in fact a bad idea. If you did that, you'd never have a list because you would finish everything as soon as you saw it. You'd also be highly ineffective and inefficient, since most things you deal with are not to be acted upon the first time you become aware of them. Where the advice does hold is in eliminating the bad habit of continually picking things up out of in, not deciding what they mean or what you're going to do about them, and then just leaving them there. A better admonition would be, the first time you pick something up from your in tray, decide what to do about it and where it goes, never put it back in in. The cognitive scientists have now proven the reality of decision fatigue, that every decision you make, little or big, diminishes a limited amount of your brain power. Deciding to not decide about an email or anything else is another one of those decisions which drains your psychological fuel tank. The key processing question: what's the next action? You've got the message. You're going to deal with one item at a time, and you're going to make a firm next action decision about each one. This may sound easy, and it is, but it requires you to do some fast, hard thinking. Much of the time, the action will not be self-evident. It will need to be determined. On that first item, for example, do you need to call someone? Fill something out? Get information from the web? Buy something at the store? Talk to your assistant? Email your boss? What? If there's an action, its specific nature will determine the next set of options. But what if you say, there's really nothing to do with this? What if there is no action? It's likely that a portion of your in tray will require no action. There will be three types of things in this category: trash, items to incubate, reference material. Trash. If you've been following my suggestions, you'll no doubt already have tossed out a big pile of stuff. It's also likely you will have put stacks of material into in that include things you don't need anymore. So don't be surprised if there's still a lot more to throw away as you process your stuff. Processing all the things in your world will make you more conscious of what you're going to do and what you should not be doing. One director of a foundation I worked with discovered he had allowed way too many emails, thousands, to accumulate, emails that, in fact, he wasn't ever going to respond to anyway. He told me that using my method forced him to go on a healthy diet about what he would allow to hang around his world as an incompletion. It's likely that at some point you'll come up against the question of whether or not to keep something for future reference. I have two ways of dealing with that. When in doubt, throw it out. When in doubt, keep it. Take your pick. I think either approach is fine. You just need to trust your intuition and be realistic about your space. Most people have some angst about all of this because their systems have never really been totally functional and clear-edged before. If you make a clean distinction between what's reference and supplies and what requires action, and if your reference system is simple and workable, you can easily keep as much material as you can accommodate. Since no action is required on it, it's just a matter of physical space and logistics. How big would you like your reference library and toolbox to be? Filing experts can offer you more detailed guidelines about all this, and your accountant can provide record retention timetables that will tell you how long you should keep what kinds of financial documentation. My suggestion is that you discriminate about whether something is actionable or not. Once it's clear that no action is needed, there's room for lots of options, given your personal preferences and storage and access capabilities. The digital world offers additional opportunities and challenges around the what to keep versus what to throw away decision. Because computer and cloud storage spaces seem continually to grow exponentially, the good news is that we are forever getting much more room to store much more stuff. Additional good news is the powerful search functionality that has grown along with it. The bad news is that it can easily